Chapter 12. The Phoenician at Anubis. It hadn't been much of a riddle in the end. The answer had been in the manuals, as Fulgrim had expected. Buried amid philosophical musings on the purpose of a blade and the desires of the wielder was the name of a place. From there, it had been a simple matter of consulting the planetary records. Now, a few hours later, he stood atop a crumbled parapet, looking out over the hinterlands of western provinces. The parapet belonged to what had once been a monastery of some sort, or so the planetary records claimed. Whatever it once had been, it was now a seemingly abandoned stack of stone, piled high in the Anubis Mountains.
Breathtaking, Fulgrim said, absorbing the view.
He could see the far horizon from here, and the gentle sweep of stars scattered across the fading shroud of night. He could see the distant fields and the glimmer of a city's lights. Another light blinked closer to hand, the Firebird and Abdomon awaiting his call somewhere above. The thought of the gunship reminded him that he hadn't come all the way out here for distant lights and gentle stars. The monastery had been constructed on the spot where the mythical Sabazius had first appeared, striking his sword on the ground to draw up the waters that fed the well around which the structure had been raised. An old story and a familiar one, oddly appropriate as well. He himself had been named for the waterbringer of Chemos's creation myth. One waterbringer to another, Sabazius. I must say that you chose a lovely spot for it, he said, glancing up at the cracked and weathered remnants of what had once been a massive statue occupying the center of the courtyard. Age and neglect had rubbed away any defining feature or sign of artistry, leaving only a rough pillar covered in gray moss and dripping with water. Fulgrim's voice carried through the ruin, drifting down across the courtyard. He turned, studying the empty space. Impressive as the view is, however, I cannot imagine that it is the sole purpose of my visit. He waited, counting the moments. He could smell sweat drying on fabric and gun oil. There were at least 15 distinct heartbeats within the range of his hearing, each one pulsing with anticipation or fear. One was familiar, his visitor from the night before. He hadn't bothered to inform anyone other than Abdomon of the incident, or where he was going. He doubted the Brotherhood meant him harm, and even if they did, there was precious little he had to fear on this world, or any other. The Emperor had made his sons strong. He had not made them patient, however. He sighed loudly.
Come, come. I know you're here. Come out and introduce yourselves. You've gone to all this trouble to get my attention. Well, now you have it.
Welcome to Sabazius ut Anubis, Lord Phoenician.
A rustle of cloth announced the arrival of the speaker as he slipped out onto the parapet. Not his visitor from the night before, but his heartbeat was familiar even so. Someone he'd already met. One of the patricians, perhaps. Like the other, this one was draped in black from head to foot, and all signs of his identity were hidden. The only difference between the two was that this one was armed. A sword, appropriately enough.
The heart of Byzas, some call it, he continued. The place where Sabazius and many besides set foot upon this world's soil for the first time.
Yes, I can see how you might believe that. Fulgrim made a show of looking around. The courtyard below was an open circular space, suspiciously empty of debris. The hard-packed soil had the look of having been swept as if to hide telltale markings. Add to that the obvious repairs recently made to the parapets and roof, and the signs of more subtle modifications on the inner walls, and he was fairly certain that this place was more than it appeared. In fact, it might even make an adequate fortress, if necessary. He smiled. His panoply's internal sensors were slowly mapping his immediate surroundings for future review. Whatever this place was, he would know all of its secrets in time. He wondered if his hosts, these Sabazians, understood what they were sacrificing by inviting him here. Perhaps they didn't care. If they were that confident, it was only to his advantage.
We are honored that you have chosen to meet with us, Lord Phoenician,
the Sabazian on the parapet continued.
We weren't certain that you'd come.
After all the effort I went to in securing the invitation, I'd be a fool not to. Fulgrim gestured. Though I do wish the rest of you would come out of hiding.
The figure on the parapet gestured. Down below, a crowd slipped from the shadows. All the same, clad in identical black. Fulgrim restrained a laugh and leapt from the parapet. He landed in the courtyard with a thump, causing them to draw back hurriedly. He flung the edge of his cloak back so that the Palatine Aquila was visible.
And that's better, he said. I wish us all to be friends.
He looked around, and then back up at the Sabazian on the parapet.
Well, here we are. Now, why did you invite me?
Why did you seek us out?
Curiosity.
The man on the parapet spread his hands.
And thus the answer.
Fulgrim snorted.
Amusing, but perhaps you could elaborate. Is this to be a debate?
A surrender? He smiled.
An assassination attempt?
Now that he was down here, he could detect the faint vibration of some vast unseen mechanism buried somewhere beneath him. Generators, possibly. Or something else.
We wish only to talk,
one of those in the crowd said hurriedly.
To hear for ourselves your intentions for Byzas, to see whether we might reach an accord.
They have not changed since the last time I spoke of them.
I'm sure some of you at least heard them.
I'm more interested in hearing your intentions.
His smile widened as a nervous ripple ran through their ranks. As he thought, there were members of the patricians present here. Secret societies attracted the nobility like flies to dung. Boredom was a potent drug. Then, perhaps it wasn't all boredom.
Byzas must change if it is to survive,
the Sabazian on the parapet called down.
It must shed the old and welcome the new. It must step into the light and banish the shadows.
Fulgrim nodded. That was straight from the old training manuals he'd found.
I completely agree.
And the best way to do that is to cease this pointless rebellion.
Compliance will see Byzas inducted into a galactic brotherhood the likes of which you cannot conceive. Progress will follow swiftly.
Will it?
Another of the hooded figures barked.
Or will we trade one set of overseers for another? I have spoken to these iterators of yours. They would make us peasants, grubbing in cosmic soil for the betterment of distant masters. The Sabazian Brotherhood works to set aside all that holds one man in servitude to another. We shall not condemn our people to chains, no matter the quality of their forging.
Fulgrim shrugged.
It is not a life of ease, it is true. There is much work to be done before Byzas can assume its proper place.
He looked around.
But under my watchful gaze it can, and will, be accomplished. All men, rich and poor alike, must work together.
Someone laughed, a trifle nervously. The sound stuttered away, lonely and soon forgotten.
And will you become hereditary governor, then?
A Sabazian asked. Fulgrim chuckled.
Well, you have a governor, I believe.
Pandion is corrupt. The patricians are corrupt. They must be swept aside if we are to achieve anything.
Mutters of agreement followed this outburst.
And what will you replace them with?
Fulgrim asked. Silence. He nodded.
As I thought. You call yourselves a brotherhood, but how many factions stand before me? One? Or a dozen?
He turned slowly, letting his gaze sweep across the masked faces.
Have you even discussed the future at any length?
He smiled mirthlessly.
I do not care who rules Byzas, only that their rule is a stable one. Your internal conflicts are just that.
Internal.
Unimportant against the wider tapestry of the Great Crusade. But I will not leave this world less stable than I found it.
Perhaps you will not leave this world at all,
someone said. Fulgrim looked at him, and the speaker jerked back with a muffled oath, hand falling to his sword. Fulgrim stared steadily at the Sabazian for long moments. Then his smile returned.
Ah, and here I hoped you would prove reasonable.
He looked up as if beseeching the heavens.
Am I to forever be beset by fools?
Silence stretched. Fulgrim could smell their growing nervousness. They did not fully understand his capabilities, but some of them had likely witnessed his actions at the banquet. They knew how fast he could move and how strong he was, but they did not truly understand. Finally, one of the Sabazians bowed his head.
Our apologies, Lord Fulgrim. Our colleague spoke out of turn and will be disciplined.
Well, that's all right then, Fulgrim said mockingly.
You should be glad that it is I who stands before you and not one of my brothers. They are all, without exception, extremely short-tempered and prone to acts of exceptional violence.
He spread his arms.
I, on the other hand, am a reasonable being.
He pointed at them.
But I am fast coming to the limits of my patience. This world is mine now, and I would make a gift of it to my father.
In the end, that was what it came down to. Simple ownership. This world was his, as Chemos was. His to mold, his to shape, and he would suffer no one to challenge that. Only he possessed the clarity of vision necessary to steer this world on its proper course. Recent events had proven that much, at least. This brotherhood was nothing more than a gathering of children, flailing for purpose. They agitated and stoked the fires of resentment, but had no goal beyond some nebulous ideal of equality. They would set Byzas aflame and smother themselves in the ashes if he allowed them to continue. As if reading his mind, one of the Brotherhood said,
If you would help us, we could make this world a fitting gift for this emperor of yours, a paradise.
A paradise unearned is but a land of shadows.
Fulgrim frowned.
It's as if you are not listening. I do not wish to make it a paradise. I wish to make it compliant.
If you would stage a coup, then stage a coup, but make it quick. You will get no help from me.
You will stand aside, then, when we come for Pandion.
Fulgrim frowned. He'd expected as much, given the lengths to which they'd gone to kill the old man during the banquet. He shook his head.
Pandion and his family are under my protection. For better or worse, they represent the only hope of stability this world has. I will not allow you or any of the others to throw this planet into chaos. If you wish to form a new government, do so. But it will have Pandion as a figurehead. Order will be maintained.
He's corrupt!
One of the Sabazians shouted.
Yes, but he is mine. Just as any government you form will be mine. Whatever form you wish it to take, it will be hammered into a shape tolerable to me.
That is the nature of compliance. Fulgrim slapped Fireblade's hilt.
Bow your head or lose it.
Those are your options. It was a hard line to take, but necessary. The Sabazian Brotherhood could not be allowed to flourish, whatever its aims. Like the patricians, they would only create instability. They wished to uplift the common man, without thought as to what that might mean for both him and those he served. The freedom they offered was merely a tyranny of the weak. 28-1's course was set, and nothing could be allowed to deter it, to deter him. He would bring Byzas to heel before the month was out, as he had sworn.
There is a third option. We can resist. We can fight.
It was said quietly.
As we have always fought, so will we continue to fight, until our world is free of the shackles which bind it.
He pointed at Fulgrim.
You have placed Nova Basilos under martial law. You have executed members of our Brotherhood and those we fight against. You are the enemy of all those who call Byzas home, whatever you profess.
Perhaps. But I do not have to be.
That is our hope as well.
The Sabazian who'd first greeted him descended a set of stone steps to the courtyard.
Perhaps you would find the tenets of our Brotherhood edifying, he continued. They align closely with the values you espouse so vocally.
A hesitation.
We would make fitting allies, Lord Fulgrim. More so than Pandion, at least.
I do not require allies.
Fulgrim tapped the pommel of his sword with a forefinger. And I know the doctrines you follow, likely better than you.
I require an orderly society here and now, not some impossible utopia.
And how will you achieve that when you defend the very cause of this world's disorder?
The Sabazian spread his hands.
Will you hunt us down?
We have been hunted before. Outlaw us. We are outlaws even now. I will dissolve the government. I will purge the ranks of the Continental Army and the patricians. I will burn away anyone who seeks to make themselves an obstacle to the progress I bring. That includes your brotherhood, as well as those who follow you, if you get in my way. Fulgrim looked around. I will do what I must to see this thing done, even if it means I must put down every uprising personally. The Sabazians were silent for a moment. Then one of them said,
As will we, Lord Phoenician. But we need not be enemies.
Fulgrim looked up. He could hear the whine of approaching engines. The Firebird was nearing the designated landing zone some distance down the mountain.
You have a choice to make.
I would make it quickly. It was a challenge, and a warning. He'd known before he even set foot in this place that he would find no common ground with these men. But they had been an unknown, and irritating in their ambiguity. He'd needed to know what he was facing. Now he had their measure. Idealists and demagogues, more dangerous in their way than Bucephalos and his sort, if left to their own devices.
And if we make the wrong choice?
Fulgrim smiled. Don't. Accept your fate. Bow your heads and take solace in knowing that I am sympathetic to your aims. For if you do not, you will find your brotherhood well and truly extinct.